tonight, I would like to look in the book of John, John chapter 10, and I want to share with you a few verses of Scripture. There's a lot that could be said that's in these verses. Pastor this morning talked about the life-giving water, and so tonight we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd and the claim that Jesus made, that He says, "I am the Good Shepherd." And so looking at the words of Jesus tonight, as we look at verse 11, the Bible says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for His sheep." Now, not only did He say He was the Good Shepherd, He also said that He would demonstrate why He's the Good Shepherd. So there's a demonstration there. Not only was there a proclaim of who He was, but there was also reason for them to understand why He is the Good Shepherd. Then in verse 12, there is a contrast. He says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolves catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." So now he's talking about those that are the hirelings, or the imitation of the shepherd, if you will. When trouble comes, they're going to run. They're going to flee. They're not going to stand. In verse 12 says, "The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd, and knoweth my sheep, and am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. Thank You for this good day that You've blessed us with. And help us, Lord, to grab hold of just exactly who You are, and that relationship that You desire for us. We ask for Your help tonight. We pray for those that are listening and that will be listening. We pray for those that are here. And Lord, I do ask for Your help for me. Our desire tonight is just to bring honor to You. So I ask Your blessings. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin with a couple of opening verses that you don't have to turn to, but I want you to listen to them. One is found in Psalm 14, verse 3. The Bible says, "They are all gone astray. They are altogether became filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And then there's another verse found in the New Testament, which is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 9 and following. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They that together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one." So we see here that there is a contrast in who Jesus said He is and what we are. Jesus said that He's the good shepherd. The Bible says that there's none good, no, not one. Christ makes a pretty bold statement in saying who He is. He doesn't say, "I hope to be." He doesn't say, "I want to be." He doesn't say, "In the future I will be." but he makes the claim, I am the good shepherd. And that's important for us to focus on tonight. You see, I personally have no problem believing the words of Jesus. I don't have a problem believing him saying him being the good shepherd. And whether I believed it or not, let me get this point across. Whether I believe it or not, it's still true. Okay, so that's important for us to understand. I didn't want to mislead you, but personally speaking, I have no problem believing that he is the good shepherd. And I was thinking about that when I was putting this message together. Why don't I have that problem? So I have to go all the way back to my childhood and remember the family that I was raised in, and remember the first time that I heard the gospel, remember that for the a large portion of my life, I can't say every year, but a very large portion of my life, I've been in church. And I've heard it, and it's been drilled in me, and it's been embedded in me exactly who Jesus Christ is. So therefore, I don't have a problem understanding when he says the words, I'm the good shepherd. I don't have a problem. But you see, there is a problem with the world in saying that. Because they have an understanding is, yes, I've heard of Jesus. Yes, I've heard about him, and he's mentioned him, and it's so sad to me when I hear the individuals using Christ's name in vain. It's so sad to me. But then I look at their life and I see where they are and I see their background, and all I can say is how thankful the way that I was raised. How thankful that in my life and in my family's life, we all were raised the same way. And I'm grateful for that, and we should never take that for granted, the gospel message. But yet, when you look into the faces of individuals that is going through difficulties in their life, and when they get bad news, whether it be financially or whether it be physically or whether it be some kind of tragedy, and they get bad news, and you want to comfort them, but when you say the words, it's okay, the Lord's going to take care of this, they look at you blankly. They don't understand what you're saying. And in their minds, they're thinking, well, if this is a loving God, why would this happen? Why would tragedy take place? Why would I don't have enough money to pay my bills? Or why would this take place? And when you try to minister to them, you're really kind of at a loss for words, because they're hurting, but not only are they hurting, they don't understand what we understand. They don't understand how we were raised, and they don't understand what we've been taught. So when you give them a Bible verse, or you give them trying to be encouraging to them, they look at you blankly and they don't understand. So then I began to think about this message. And what is it? What is so important about what is being said here in the passage that I read, and the fact that he is the good shepherd? We already know the scripture says there's none good. And that's why I began with those verses. So what is it that he's speaking of? And it's none other than relationship. Relationship. Because when you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's him being the good shepherd, having that relationship with the sheep, then you begin to understand. You see, when you talk to someone that is lost, and they're going through a difficulty, or they're going through a trying time, or they're going through a tragedy, and you're trying to be encouraging to them, they don't understand what we understand. They don't understand. And they're thinking, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? But just like Brother Jim mentioned in his opening words before he sang, if we get promoted by death, or you know, or Christ's coming, then we rejoice because we know what our future is. But the lost don't understand that. They have this misunderstanding of what heaven is. They have a misunderstanding of how you get to heaven. And anybody who proclaims a different message than Jesus Christ died for your sins is giving the wrong message to people. They're giving the wrong message. And, and it's not about feeling good. It's about understanding. The only way to experience heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Christ mentions in verses 12 and 13, the hireling, those that are hired to watch the sheep. And I was thinking about how can I make this practical to where some of you might understand this and maybe some of you can relate. But we haven't gone in several years, but usually during this time of year or just in a few weeks, we celebrate, Darla and I celebrate our wedding anniversary, and we're going to celebrate, Lord willing, in just a week or so. It'll be our 31st wedding anniversary. And we like to go to the mountains, and we haven't gone in the last few years, but we would like to go to Dollywood. And so we would always take our dog with us. That's not Marshall. He went too, but we would always take our little dog with us. And of course you can't take a dog in the park, but they have something called Doggywood. True story. It's called Doggywood. And so you bring your dog in and you pay a small fee and they watch your dog. And they put your dog in a little kennel and they make sure it has food and water. And then you have to come every so often to take the dog out. And they've got a place that you can walk it just for a minute and then you take it back. And so they are hirelings. Your dog's safe, or at least seeming to be safe because they're in a kennel. They don't pamper the dog. They don't come and ask it how it's doing. They don't pet it on the head. They just watch it to make sure it stays safe. But I guarantee you, that if some kind of a tragedy took place, they might try to get your pet out. I would hope they would. But they are not going to do what you would do. And for you that have pets, you understand that. They're not going to do what you would do. Well, that's what Christ is trying to show here about a hireling. A hireling, he says, will not, ultimately he's saying the hireling's not the shepherd. They don't own the sheep. And when a wolf's coming, they're going to run. They're going to flee. They're not going to protect the sheep. They're not going to protect, the lives of the sheep. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said that he would lay down his life for the sheep. You see the contrast? You see the difference? No different than some of you hired babysitters for your child. Maybe you were a babysitter growing up, and it was the same way. All you were looking for was for somebody to watch your child and keep it safe while you were gone, maybe out to eat or you were gone somewhere. But that babysitter's not going to teach the baby how to walk. The babysitter's not going to teach the baby how to talk. The babysitter's not going to, keep a child from falling. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference here between a hireling and a shepherd. There's a difference here. When there's conflicts, the hireling is subject to run. But I want you to notice the realization of who the shepherd is again, because he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Not I think, not I would like to be, but he is not only the shepherd, but it says he is the good shepherd. So I want to give you just a few things about this relationship, because I think it's the relationship that really drives home the point, and the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is so special. It's so special because he knows us. He understands us. He knows what we need. No different than a good shepherd, as a shepherd would be taking care of the sheep. So the first thing I want us to mention tonight is simply this. The good shepherd learns us or teaches us. You see, a shepherd wants to teach. I've heard someone say that sheep are a bunch of dumb animals. Well, how many times can we look at ourselves and see the decisions that we've made in life that we shouldn't have made? That we know better. We know better. You know, I learned a long time ago that when peace was at home was when the children were behaving. But as soon as a child misbehaves, then there's no more peace. Coming from a family of six children, that was a pretty hard task for my mother and daddy, was to keep us all in line all at the same time. But I guarantee that when it did happen, they were simply praising the Lord. He teaches us. John chapter 17 verse 3, the Bible says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So we're learning. This speaks of the intimate relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. That intimate relationship, that special bond, that special relationship. Not the hireling that is being referenced, but the good shepherd that knows his sheep. And that special relationship. I don't know if you have ever known anybody or maybe a family having identical twins. And when you go into the room I don't even know if they do it anymore. It shows you how far behind. I'm about 25 years behind. But used to, you would go in and you would look at the babies, and that used to be the thing. Everybody wanted to go look at the babies. And when you saw two twins, you couldn't tell them apart. But at birth, the mother can tell them apart. The shepherd knows exactly who we are. The shepherd knows exactly who we are, which again speaks of that relationship. He knows the nature of the sheep. He knows each one of us. He knows each one of our difficulties. We might look at each other sometimes and we may think, well, why are you struggling with this? I don't have a problem with it. Some sheep might be afraid of the dark. Some sheep might be afraid of storms. Some sheep might be afraid of heights. Some sheep might have anxiety. Some sheep might be afraid of life. Every sheep has its different personality. But you see, the shepherd knows us personally. The shepherd understands us and who we are and what we each one need. Because what I might need tonight may be different than what you need tonight. But it's amazing, because we can all find help when we come to church. Because he knows exactly what we need. And that's because he's the good shepherd. You see, it speaks of relationship. We must have that relationship. And the world don't understand that. The world don't understand that relationship and that closeness. I want to read to you a familiar passage of Scripture to all of us. And many of you can quote it. But I want us to make it personal tonight as we read it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That whole psalm speaks of relationship. That whole psalm, centers around that relationship that we have with the shepherd. He knows exactly what we need and how we need it and how we can obtain it. Our disappointments, our desires, our aims, our abilities, our faults. He knows us better than anyone could know us. And we praise Him tonight. We praise Him. He knows what's best for us. But when you're talking to someone that doesn't know Christ, they think that life's going to be perfect. They think when you talk to them, and they say the words, why is God allowing this? Why is God allowing this in my life? Why is, if He loved me, why would I be going through this? They don't understand the relationship that we have with Him. They don't understand. You know, when I was growing up with my sisters, there would be times that one child would get to do something the other one didn't. And you would hear the words, well, that's not fair. And you would hear them say, well, this sister got to do this. How come I can't do this? But you know, now on the backside of life, I kind of understand it a little bit more, because a parent, if they really know their children, they know what they can handle and what they can't. And I think about sometimes in life, in our relationship with the Lord, He knows what we can handle and what we can't. And He knows that we can look to Him because of that relationship. And as hard it may be to understand sometimes, He wants the best for us. And our next point is simply this. He loves us. He loves us. Verse 15 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. When we talk about religion, and when we talk about all the beliefs that there are, there is only one, and that is Jesus Christ, that laid down His life for us. Religion doesn't do that. Religion makes it all about me. Religion makes it all about what I can do and what my accomplishments, and what kind of ritual I might go through. Or if I do this right, or if I do that right. And it's all about me. But when we look at Christ, it's all about Him. I'm just the beneficiary of it. I'm just the beneficiary. So He loves us. This tells us exactly about how much He does love. How many of you, when you were growing up, would find a flower and you would say, "He loves me, she loves me, she loves me not"? Carol, did you do that with the pastor? No. "He loves me." And then how many of you, be honest, how many of you would count ahead? And when you were going to get to "he loves me" or "she loves me not," you would pull two off at the same time. Did y'all ever count ahead? I did. Pastor likes to confess up here. I'm going to confess too. I sometimes pulled out too. But there's now doubt in my mind that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Christ didn't die for our sins based upon my word, but Christ died for our sins based upon His word, the Scriptures. God commandeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is supreme, better than any other, better than any hireling that there is. His love is supreme. His love is not only supreme, but His love is eternal. It's forever. We don't have to worry about whether He loves us or not. You see, there might be loves that you have in this life that it might change based upon circumstances and feelings and all those things. But we never have to worry about the love of Christ changing. It's eternal. And it's not counterfeit. What does counterfeit do? Counterfeit is that hireling that He spoke of when He was ministering. That counterfeit is going to run when the wolves are coming. That counterfeit is going to leave the sheep helpless. That counterfeit is going to flee. And when the wolves come, it's going to scatter the sheep. The hireling is going to flee. That's that counterfeit. Because it's a hireling. That's the reason it's going to flee. It really doesn't care. It actually says it. And careth not for the sheep. That's what religion is. Religion doesn't care. But Jesus does. Jesus does. Number three, He leads us. We follow Him because He knows our voice. Back probably about January, I guess it was January of 2021, my grandparents have been passed away for now several years. And we found out several years ago that I had my uncle who owned the farm, and my uncle and my aunt owned my grandma and grandpa's farm. And then they passed away. And so I had a cousin that lives in Kentucky. He inherited the farm. And so he and I kind of correspond a little bit, a few times a year. I'll ask him how he's doing and that type of thing. Well, he told me at the end of 2020 that he was going to sell the farm. He just wasn't in any shape to keep up the farm. He lived in Kentucky. The farm was in Madison County, close to Marshall. And the farm was kind of where I grew up, in a sense of when I would see my grandparents. And so in the early part of 2021, he invited us to go and he said, "Look," he said, "I'm going to sell it. If you want to go walk around and I told him I wanted, an old tobacco stick that was my grandpa's. And he used to have tobacco sticks and I used to go for walks with him around the farm. And I just wanted one of my grandpa's tobacco sticks. So we went down there in I guess it was January of last year. And so we pulled up in the driveway and things were grown up. The barn was sitting sideways and it was about to collapse. And so I went in and you know how your mind goes back. My mind raced back and when I went up underneath the barn, there was an upper loft. And then there was, in the middle of the barn was where my grandma used to milk the cows. And when I was little, I would always go with her to milk the cows. And each section of the barn was the stalls where, you know, the cows were kept or some of the animals. They had some pigs. And I remember when I was standing there and I was just kind of looking, I was remembering that in the mornings, about daybreak, it's always amazed me how she was able to make breakfast, and it wasn't a Pop-Tart when she made breakfast. She would always make biscuits and gravy and eggs and whatever else my grandpa wanted. And she would do that every morning. And she would still milk the cows. And so when she would get everything set up, she would put feed in the trough. By the way, when I was there in 2021, I found that trough. And I actually have that trough. And so that doesn't mean anything to you, but it's special to me. But she would put the grain in the trough, and then she would start hollering for the cows. And she would, and I'm not going to imitate it, but she had a real high voice when she was hollering for the cows, and she would do it in a real, real high voice. Don't ask me what it means, but she would say, "Sook Pat." That's what she would say in a real high voice. Cows knew what it meant, and they would come running. And they would come around, and they knew exactly where to go. And they would come around, and they would eat their grain, and my grandma would milk the cow. And that's where she got her butter, and that's where they don't make milk like they used to. She couldn't be replaced, because those cows knew her voice. The Good Shepherd can't be replaced tonight, because we know His voice. Again, it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. We listen to His Word. We get direction. We get help. And He is the one that is leading us. He doesn't drive us, but He leads us. Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." So there's a longing. You know, the good shepherd doesn't consider leadership a dread. His sheep would hear him. His sheep would follow. He would protect the sheep. He would lead to them green pastures. Doesn't say he would drive to the green pastures. You know, when you have to drive somebody to do something, it really doesn't mean anything. When my sisters and I would get into an argument, my parents would stop the argument, and then they would always say, "Tell your sister you're sorry." Sorry, you didn't mean it. But there were other times that you really did mean it. And there is a difference. There is a difference. And Christ leads to those green pastures. He feeds us, and He gives us exactly what we need. And then lastly tonight, He lives for us. Verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But the good shepherd says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I am come. What is that song? "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow." Because He lives. You see, in Him we live forever. There's no better life. than the life with Christ? Is it perfect? His part is, but our part isn't, because we still have that sinful nature. But it's far better to know Him than not to know Him. Life sometimes hurts. Life has its own problems. Life has its own disappointments. Life has its frustrations. But most importantly for us to understand tonight is we have the Good Shepherd, which is Christ. He is the Good Shepherd. And tonight, I want to say publicly that I thank God for the relationship that I personally have with Jesus Christ because of what He did for me. You see, I can say that. I can say Jesus Christ died for me. And guess what? You can say it too. It's kind of like that what Pastor was saying this morning, the whosoever. All we have to do is come to Him. Isn't it wonderful to know the Good Shepherd? We've got a lot to be thankful for, and we've got a lot to praise Him for. And I thank God tonight that we don't have just some hireling, but we have the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Father, as we have this invitation, if someone would just like to come and talk to You, Lord, I can honestly say sometimes we don't talk to You enough. We don't thank You enough for what You have and what You've provided for us. We don't praise You enough. We're not grateful enough because sometimes we worry about what's around us rather than what we have in You. We thank You tonight that we don't have a religion, but we thank You tonight that we have Jesus. If there's someone that doesn't know Him, I pray that they'll come. And we ask that You speak to hearts. And we thank You tonight. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.